I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
I am. I'm going to do a little talky talk now. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about black cats and superstition. So I was doing some research into where the superstition came from because, you know, we all know that black cats are associated with witches, with bad luck in a lot of cultures, but also of good luck in some other cultures. So I've never known where it's come from either. But I've always, you know, I've always had black cats and I love black cats. And I think I love them more because they're associated with witches and because they are kind of in a lot of ways the underdog. Like you say, black cats are two-thirds sort of less likely to be adopted. And there's thousands and thousands of black cats that this is turning into a bit of a plea to adopt cats. Go and listen to this and then go and adopt a black cat. Why not?
Yeah, and it's the same with like you know, cats with deformities or disabled cats as well. It's weird because you're obviously you're choosing an animal. You're making it.
Yeah.
You know, if you had a child that had deformities or disabilities, it'd be like, well, it's my child. I'm not gonna, you know, just chuck it away and set it up for adoption. That's cruel. But then a lot of people forget to, you know, look at cats and go, you know, that cat really would love me and would be there for me and that love. I've got a friend Violet who has a cat who's missing an eye.
Oh.
And she's the most playful, fun, energetic cat I've ever seen. You wouldn't even think she was like missing an eye or she was wary about, you know, running off or running into a wall or something or falling over or losing her balance or, you know, a depth perception being off. Just an amazing little cat. And I think people should definitely consider those things when adopting a cat.
If anything, I think it adds character. I have a three-legged cat, lives at my mum's now, but she gets around better than a lot of my other cats, and she certainly brings home the most mice.
Don't judge her on her disabilities.
Absolutely not.
Liability.
But yes, so the black cat superstition believed to come from the Middle Ages in Europe, based on a folklore that was spread about a man and his son who came across a black cat and began to throw rocks at it, which is just very nasty. Yeah. And the injured cat ran into a woman's house who was suspected of being a witch. And when the woman happened to appear limping and bruised the next day, people suspected that the cat was, in fact, the woman in disguise.
Oh.
Ah, hence why they're associated with witches. People also kind of see black cats like the black dog, basically a symbol of death, hence bad luck. But there are some cultures where cats are considered to be lucky. Japan, one of those cultures, which is probably why there are a lot of cats represented in anime and popular culture over in Japan. They love cats there. There's so many sort of cat cafes and they're very, you know, pro protecting cats. I think there's a whole cat island which is protected. I was reading a lot when they had what was it, a massive typhoon, and they were worried that it was going to destroy the cat island, and people went over and they rescued most of the cats off that island. That they love cats. Japan, Germany, it's very interesting. In Germany, it depends which direction the cat walks in front of you. So if a cat walks in front of you left to right, that's good luck. But if it walks in front of you right to left, bad luck. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I found out on a couple of websites. So if there's any sort of anyone from Germany listening, please rectify.
We do have international listeners. If your culture has a unique take on cats or superstition with cats, let us know.
I do have some Scottish friends as well. I need to ask them about this. But apparently, if a black cat appears on your doorstep in Scotland, it could mean that you're coming into some money.
Oh, nice. I left the door open the other day and our local cat walked in. I hope that means I'm in for some money because that would
be... Was it a black cat?
That'd be nice. It was kind of like... It's kind of like I don't know what type it was. It kind of looked like it was a very furry kind of black and brown one. It's kind of very unkempt kind of looking cat. I'm hoping that's mostly black. So, you know, it's almost like it's got waves of brown in the fur. It's like black, brown, then black, then brown again. It's very friendly, so it's a nice cat. So,
have you fed it?
My flatmate did when he came in another time. But I think my flatmate came in and he ran out. So the last time I saw him. But yeah, so good. But yeah, I think I've got a little bit to say on black cats a little later. Anyway, but yeah. So sorry, did you say what your choice was? I can't remember.
So that leads me on to my second top choice of, you know, good cats. And that is Binks from Hocus Pocus in 1993. Hocus Pocus, like Homeward Bound, up there. I probably love it more than Homeward Bound. Just a fantastic, absolutely amazing movie. And I've had a black cat called Binks, named on Binks. And obviously, Binks is an anthropomorphic cat, but he was originally a human, Thackeray Binks, transformed into an immortal cat at the beginning of the film by the Sanderson sisters, the witches of the film, because he's trying to rescue his sister from being sirened by the witches. Sadly, he doesn't manage to rescue his sister, and his sister... It's very dark, actually, as a children's film. It's horrific.
Die? Do the witches die and then they're resurrected? Is that the plot of the film?
Yes. So they kill the little girl. What's the little girl's name?
Jesus.
No, the little girl's not called Jesus.
No.
So they kill the little girl, they absorb her for her youth. So like the film Blanche, Blanche and his owner was doing, and then the townsfolk, so this is set in the 17th century, and then the townsfolk kind of realise what's been going on, and they hunt down the witches, and they have them hanged, which is a little bit, and you do see them, you see the feet dangling. This is like a PG film, I'm sure it is. Yeah, the witches are killed and they're buried, but just before they die, they do a spell and they say, when the Virgin lights a candle on Halloween, we will come back, blah, blah, blah. But
surely,
Binks,
surely that's next year then. Surely that was the following year they came back.
Oh, no. Apparently not. And this is another one. This is a film that I watched as like a kid, like, but what, the Virgin? it's one of those films you don't think Disney would ever make something like that again, because it's very leading for a
there's quite a lot of like focus on the fact that he's a virgin, and isn't there like jokes at his expense that he's a virgin?
Oh yeah. Like, load of jokes.
He's only like 13, you know, 12.
Yeah, max. Yeah, so on Halloween, All Hallows Eve, you all know the story. You must know the story. Although I do have a couple of friends that haven't seen Hocus Pocus. How?
Well, they should.
How? They should. So Binks the cat is an immortal, and he is roaming. He is guarding the house because he doesn't want anyone to bring back the witches. However, he doesn't manage to stop Max, who lights a candle on Halloween, opened the spell book, and they come back. And then the rest of the film is them trying to stop the witches. Binks is obviously one of the main protagonists, but he becomes very close with the little girl. Oh my God, what's the little girl called? What's her name?
I've not seen in years. I really haven't seen.
Are you kidding? But he kind of guards her because the witches are after her. They want to absorb her for her youth. Again, very dark. And in the end, they manage to defeat the witches, and Binks is set free from his animal self. And he's obviously a very old man by now, so he's dead. And you see him kind of walk off as a spirit, human Binks, to meet with his sister. And they walk off into the sunrise.
Still a virgin.
No, Binks, we never know if Binks is a virgin or not.
I thought he was the virgin as well.
No. But yeah, there is a lot of talk about virgin.
He died a virgin. I thought that was the plot.
He probably was, because I think he was about 17. Oh, I don't know. It does say how old he was when he was turned into a cat, and he remains a cat for 300 years. but yeah, that was the first film where I heard the word virgin. I'm like, what's a virgin?
Yeah.
But yes, Binks, a very notable black cat. However, he was transformed into a black cat, which is bad luck in itself.
Very bad luck.
But he's a very good black cat. but technically a person trapped in a black cat.
Well, it's all right. I allow a bit of cheating on these
Thank you.
Lists, so don't worry about it. Don't worry. You know, I've had ghost cats and zombie cats. You know.
Yeah, this is true.
Even cats, if they're already dead, who knows? You know, you could argue it's not really a cat anymore. But yeah, I think that was a good choice. I think again, it kind of. It's very gothic, plays around with the links to witches as well, which I think is quite important. And it's a fun film. It's a family film, minus all the talking about virgins and virginity and stuff. You know, why not? Enjoy. I remember seeing it's the Kilverts and the Marricks. They dressed up as the...
Yes! They dressed up as the sisters. Sanderson sisters. Yeah, oh my God, they looked amazing.
That was fantastic. I love that.
What a great cosplay.
Yeah. I saw them do a little... They went to the ScareCon, I think, or... I think Rebecca went to the ScareCon and I saw them dress up, looking great as well. I like all your dressing up as well, all the kind of cosplay stuff and the makeup stuff you do is really good.
Oh, thank you. I mean, yeah, just give it a go, really.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. My whenever I do makeup, it's very basic. Very, very
basic. Bit.
Lodge.
Oh, I'm sure I've seen you made up. Maybe it's more costume then.
Yeah, it's more costume. Yeah. I think I need to lose some weight before I put more costumes on, I think, now. Sat in the field all this time, I've definitely put on some weight. Okay, let's do another bad cat. Now, this cat is a cat I would describe with another C word, because I really, really hate this cat. Really, really hate this cat. This
well-known cat?
Very well-known cat. So this is...
Oh, okay.
This is a Duchess from the film Babe.
Oh, yes.
She is a bitch of a cat. she's very territorial. I believe cats are quite territorial normally, aren't they? I imagine. Yeah, fairly territorial. So Babe, obviously, he's winning the other animals over. He's winning the farmer over. So much so that the farmer, he sneaks in the house initially and the cat goes for him. Then the farmer lets him in the house, cat goes for him, and he puts the cat out. And then the line goes, "Beware the bad cat bearing a grudge." The film describes this one as a bad cat. And then she comes back in, she swiped at him. They even put a plaster on, poor Babe's nose. And this is the day before the sheepdog competition, so the finale of the film, where he's going to, save the day and everything. Spoilers. But she comes in, and she comes in, and she's basically playing all nice and let's be friends, let's do this, let's talk, let's, all this sort of stuff. But all the while, she's vicious, she's vindictive, she's manipulative, she's just awful. Babe is such an innocent, loving character that you root for the entire film, and you love him to death. You love this little pig so much. And this cat comes along and goes, you know what? Pigs don't have a purpose. The only purpose you have is being eaten.
Oh, no, she better don't.
Yeah, she did. She did. And that is she dropped the mic and that's it. And Babe's like, oh my God. And Babe's this innocent, open-hearted, where's the heart, his heart on his sleeve type character. And you know exactly what she's doing. She walks in, she does exactly what you think she's going to do. She says exactly those kind of things. She's just heinous, self-serving, unrelenting, evil. And the thing that gets my goat the most about this cat is that I've met people like this. I know people like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminds me of those people. And it frustrates me. It frustrates me because karma hasn't quite gotten to these people yet. One day it will. One day it will. but not at this moment. But I'm thinking, if only I could, just
what happens to the cat in the end? I've not seen Babe in absolutely years.
I watched it yesterday as a reminder. I remember hating this cat anyway. Basically nothing.
Oh.
So Babe, after the talk, after the pig has no purpose, you're going to get eaten. Who are you anyway? Just leave. All the animals are laughing at you. You know, everyone's laughing at you. The farmer doesn't think anything of you. He runs out into the rain, goes to his mum, who's the dog Fly, and is like, "Why don't I have a purpose?" And just has this crisis of faith and who am I? What am I doing? Is it all? And it's really heartbreaking, really sad. And then he gets ill because he's been out in the rain in the cold. He gets ill and it looks like he's not going to make the competition. He might die. The vet says, you don't get enough fluids in this pig, he's going to die. And then the farmer dances a jig and that convinces Babe to have some liquids. Don't ask me why. they're just like, hey, I'm just doing a jig. And all the farm animals are looking through the window, watching the farmer do his jig. And then he goes and wins the competition. And that's great. You know, he wins that victory. So he kind of proves the cat wrong. However, you don't see the cat again in the film. And you don't see the kind of comeuppance. And nothing like happens to him. He shouldn't get like, you know, run over by a car or something. You know, we don't see like the repercussions of her being evil, you know, which... You know, I personally, you know, if something had happened, like she got, you know, thrown halfway across the farm, or, you know, she's, you know, falls in a muddy puddle, you know, anything like that would have been enough. But because we don't see that, I felt
it's not addressed. Oh, you know, no.
I feel that I need the justice, not necessarily vengeance. I need some justice for Babe, more so than him just winning the competition. And I think she turns up briefly in the sequel, but does barely anything in it. But yeah, so she's probably the evilest cat on my list, I think, Duchess.
I can hear the passion behind hatred. Yeah.
I'm seething. Again, it's probably just because I link it to real people who, you know, have said similar things to me or made me, you know, give me a crisis of conscience, faith, whatever, or, you know, made me feel like Babe, you know, in that story. And that's why I relate so much to Babe in that moment and in those dark times.
Aww.
Yeah. But yeah, so evil bloody cat. That is an evil cat.
What a bitch. What's the cat's name?
Duchess.
Oh, Duchess. That was it. Yeah. Duchess. So
she thinks she's better than everybody else. And yeah. Not nice. Not nice. But yeah, that's my number two. And that was your number two.
Yeah.
Yep, so we're on to the this is the number one spot. So this got to
be... This is the number one. And I was deliberating about this.
Did you have an order in mind, or is it just...
Oh, this was... I kind of didn't even think about this because it was just... I don't know why I didn't think about it, but it's such an obvious choice. And we kind of talked about it at the start of this podcast.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the film, it's definitely not for everyone. I think you kind of have to be a cat person to watch the film. But it's based on best-selling book, true story, based on a true story. And it's a film that I watched at the cinema, actually one of my first dates with my current partner, Luke. I don't know how we're still together after watching it at the cinema. And I literally could not leave my seat. I was sobbing for 20 minutes, like they were cleaning the cinema around me sobbing. It was really embarrassing, but I've never cried this much at a film ever. And I don't know why. Because again, it's not, spoilers, it's not that sad, but it's very emotional and happy, and it's just very touching for a cat person.
It's all happy tears.
So it is A Street Cat Named Bob, which is why Bob is named a Greek cat named Bob, my Bob. It's a 2016 film based on the book written by James Bowen about himself and his ginger cat, Bob. So Bob was a stray cat, and he changes the life of James Bowen, who was a homeless man living in London, a street musician. You know, he has a massive drugs problem, and he recovers from that with the help of Bob. And he changes Bob's life because Bob was a little bit poorly when he found him. And then he kind of used the only money he had to take him to a vet to get him treated. And it's about how they sort of become famous together, because Bob starts following him to go and busk, and then Bob stays with him and lies across his shoulder. It's fantastic. It's such a feel-good film. But again, I think you kind of have to be a little bit of a cat person. But it's amazing. And James and Bob are still very famous now. If you can search them, I follow them on kind of all forms of social media. Bob the Cat does a lot of cat conventions. I would love to meet Bob the Cat. Very passionate about this cat. Have you heard the story about
Bob
before?
Your Bob.
I know, Bob. Think of the Bob. Bob. but in the film, James is played by Luke Treadaway, who is an incredible actor, and he stars in one of my favourite theatre shows, The Curious Incident of the Dog of the Night Time, if you've seen it, well, based on a book, fantastic, and that's in the West End. Well, it was
in Stoke when I was there working out.
Yes, it was touring, but oh god, he was the original actor that played sort of Christopher, if you know the story. It's such an amazing actor. So when I found out he was playing James in the film, I was kind of obsessed with the idea from the start. But this is kind of, I think, a cult cat lovers film and just really feel good. But yes, oh god, I could talk about it all the time. Very passionate.
So it's quite, is it a fairly like straightforward movie? Obviously it's based on a true story, so I imagine it's...
It's based on a true story, but it kind of, you know, they digress a little bit for the film, but it's just, it is kind of like the story of how Bob and James become famous together, how they get discovered through James's buskin, but how people just love that the cat stays with him, much like you see a lot of homeless people with dogs that will stay with them. He's very much of a doggy kind of cat. Bob is, and it how, you know, James recovers from his drug addiction, how he kind of rebuilds his life, and then how they just find each other. And I just think it's just a beautiful metaphor, really, because I feel like my cats in a lot of way have, you know, helped me heal in loads of ways. I think that's what a lot of animals do for people, but it's just such a nice story, and it's normally something that you'd associate with a lot of dog films that they are man's best friend, but it's just nice to have a cat.
I was going to say, like, it does sound like it's very close to your heart, and it's a very similar story to yourself, minus the drug addiction
and the homelessness. Well, my homelessness anyway. Yeah. But yes, Bob the cat was homeless. But yes,
there you go. But there's similarities, and you know, there's links and stuff. So I can see it's had like quite a profound effect. So much so, you know, your homeless cat Bob. They're both ginger, aren't they? As well, the cat in the film's ginger, is it?
Yes. That's kind of why I called my Bob. But Bob in the film is completely ginger. My Bob's got a little bit of white on his. Oh, on his chest. Yeah. But yeah, what I like about this film is that a lot of the films have talked about, well, that I talked about, the cats are anthropomorphic, so they can talk. But in this case, it's just following story. It's kind of like almost documentary-esque. And it kind of, a lot of the shots are from the cat's point of view, which is fun. And I've watched a lot of interviews about talking about the making of the film, and Luke Treadaway, who plays the lead, says that he'd have done the perfect shot, and then they say, no, you have to redo it. The cat looks really grumpy. because they use Bob. Bob is the star of the film as well. They do actually use him.
Right, so they use the actual cat, Bob.
The actual Bob, Bob, and then a few other lookalikes. But yeah, Bob is the main kind of actor off the film as well.
Oh, brilliant.
And and the main guy is not the co-director, but he was kind of there quite a lot of the time for direction. So it really is, if you know the story, if you've read the book, or even if you haven't, go read the book, A Street Cat Named Bob. It's lovely. And then watch the film, which isn't as good as the book, but it's still, yeah, I think it's a tearjerker.
I think they rarely are, aren't they, when things are adapted?
It is. Oh, yeah.
Well, I will watch it on a good mental health day, I think.
God.
when it won't break me in half.
I don't think it will. I've talked to a lot of my friends about it that still love cats. I'm like, well, Sean, what part did you cry at? Because it's and I'm like, I don't understand. I don't know why no one else finds the need to cry, but I honestly...
Not like Marley and Me type thing.
No, I cried a lot more at this film than Marley and Me. So it must just be me.
You just love cats so much.
I do.
You're like that woman on the internet who wants to adopt all the cats, and loves all the cats.
Oh, yes. The one on her dating page where she starts crying. Yeah. I just love cats. Yes.
And she starts crying and stuff. And then someone did an auto-tune song of it. I just want all the cats. I love all the cats. But yeah, that film sounds really cool. So is it kind of like an indie film? Is it quite a mainstream film?
Yes. Yeah, indie film. Not the best rated film, but I mean, a lot of these are open to...
Some of mine, you know, are not very well rated at all. A lot of the films I watch on this podcast are not necessarily well rated. They're kind of cult hits. They have a fan base that's maybe not a mainstream fan base. So,
well, but yeah. So now you know where Bob's name has come from. A lot of people, when I kind of said, we're calling him Bob. Like, oh, Bob, what a cop-out name. Like, no, he's a great cat named Bob. And we're like, than a cop-out name. No, it's from a street cat named Bob. Yeah.
I get it now. Like, I get it now. It works. I think that's fine. I think that's a fine, fine choice.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're on to my last one. So you were talking about basically cat racism, weren't you, earlier, with people not adopting. I mean, it kind of is effectively kind of cat racism or
cat prejudice. Yes, it is.
So we were talking about that. You were talking about like the witch influence and things like that. So my next cat is a black cat. It is an adaptation of, which I think has led to a lot of this cat prejudice, as we call it. It is the black cat. So it's based on the Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
There's been so many adaptions of this story. Sometimes the cat plays a major role, sometimes the cat plays a very minor role, but he's always kind of linked to as a kind of a specter of death or darkness or evil within the stories in some form. And there's usually most of the stories end famously with a body being put behind a wall and then it being bricked up, and then the cat is still behind the wall, and that's how they find the body, because the cat's meowing, which is the end to most of those kind of stories. There's a Bela Lugosi one, there's one with Harvey Keitel, there's loads of adaptations, there's Tenapenny, but I've picked this one because the cat plays like a really active role in this film. So it's an Italian movie. So it's by Lucio Fulci, who's quite famous. He was known as one of the godfathers of gore. His films are fairly violent, blood. Does a lot of zombie-based things or undead-type movies. So he's adapted this story. The storyline goes like this. It's a modern-day story. American photographer and a Scotland Yard detective are basically investigating a series of bizarre deaths. And they're consulting with this local odd paranormalist guy. And he says that he has paranormal powers and he can commune with the dead and various other things. He senses evil and stuff like that. So throughout the course of the film, there's all these kind of weird kind of deaths happening. And we know, as the audience, it's not a mystery. The cat that is owned by the paranormalist is causing these deaths. So like the opening, he hypnotizes a driver into crashing his car and killing himself. There's a young couple having sex in this kind of abandoned barn, boathouse thing. The cat locks the door and cuts off the power to the air conditioning. So they literally just suffocate in that room.
Wow.
Start bollock naked and suffocating, and then they find them, you know, and the cat moves the key as well. It like leaves it somewhere else. So this cat is a bit messed up. It's kind of quite an evil cat. So yeah, he's this kind of specter of death, like we were talking about, but he plays like an active role. He's got all these kind of weird and wacky powers. He can like teleport, so he can be like, they'll be looking one direction, then the cat's over in the other direction. And there's a lot of shots like your street cat named Bob. There's a lot of POV shots from the cat.
So nice.
Slinking in between, you know, the alleyways and the rooftops. You know, it causes this drunk fella to fall down and impale himself. He also like physically attacks people as well. So he scratches them, bites them, and, you know, tears them a new one, gouges their eyes out and stuff, hypnotizes one guy into getting run over. So evil, this cat's just killing everybody. Now, it's hinted that the paranormalist is guiding the cat and is trying to kill these people off because he has a hate for being the strange one in the village. People have treated him poorly, and it's kind of he's commanding the cat.
I like a muse.
Yeah, kind of like he's got like psychic control over the cat, so he's using that as kind of a bit like House again, like using the kind of cat to kill. And later on, the guy becomes so scared that he's losing control of the cat that he hangs the cat from the neck. Like, it's in silhouette, so you don't really see like a proper hanging, but still
I couldn't watch it.
Disturbing. So yeah, it's a dark one. But then the cat isn't dead, because it's an evil cat from beyond the grave. He's coming after the paranormalist now, because he's like, right, you tried to kill me, so I'm gonna have you. And the paranormalist says that it started off he's admitting guilt, and he's saying it started off with me controlling the cat, but then I lost control, and it's feeding on my subconscious desires and my hatred. So that's why it's killing off all these people around me, is because that I subconsciously feel, you know, ostracized and wronged, and that's why the cat's going out and doing it, but I'm not actually doing it. But then he knocks the girl out and walls her up. So he's still pretty evil. But he's saying that the cat has control over him now. It's the other way. It's swapped round. But it's not really. So the cat is really evil. But then again, he could be just getting revenge because he's been treated poorly by this guy. It's really good. It's a really good movie because it just. I'm not sure where they filmed it, but Italian directors seem to film somewhere else and try and make it like America or England or somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way they do it. But they never really pull it off. But the kind of atmosphere and the gothic kind of fog and that kind of that creeping dread in the film really comes across. And then you get to these kind of brutal moments, which Lucio Fulci is very good at. But he kind of reins it in this film. Like there's several films where he's just like New York Ripper and Zombie Flesh Eaters. You know, those are films where he goes like, where the violence is like really disturbing. So this is quite tame for him, but he kind of lets that gothic, haunted, spectral, evil spirit kind of atmosphere kind of take that place of the what he would, you know, he would throw all the blood and guts on the wall normally. In this film, he kind of reins it in because he wants it to feel more like those original Poe books, those posters.
Yeah. Quite interesting. My black cat is called Edgar.
Is he?
Yeah!
Perfect, perfect. Well, as long as he's not clawing your eyes out and, you know, trying to kill you while you're having sex, you're all good. You're all good. I mean, I'm sure he might interrupt you, but as long as he's not, you know, convincing you to don't hang your cat. Whatever you do, don't hang your own.
Oh Christ!
Don't do that. That's not.
Do you know what? I would go to prison for my cats. I'm so nice and such a lovely person. But if anyone touched my cats, oh my God, yeah. Bitch! I would go to prison.
I've heard that documentary on Netflix is a bit disturbing, but also.
My God! Someone posted a status about it. Don't fuck with cats, and it sounds like a bam, like a superhero kind of thing. Yeah. So I innocently, you know, commented, going, "Oh my God, this sounds really cool. Should I give it a watch?" And within seconds, about 10 people going, "No, Shauna, no, Jesus Christ, don't watch it.
You'll cry."
But don't watch it, and no, I won't watch it.
No, I initially I was like, okay, this looks interesting, but then everyone was like, oh.
It makes me so angry to think that people do that to any animals, but it does feel like, especially cats. That's why I think that's why I don't like violence to cats in any kind of film, because I think there's enough mistreatment of them in real. In yes, yeah,
yeah. It's sad, and I think that's probably yeah. I think you're probably right, because I think obviously dogs could probably do you more damage and are generally larger and more powerful than cats. So like, and I mean, that's just the start of a serial killer, isn't it? If you're harming small animals.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're well on your way to be, that's a big sign that you may be a wrong'un.
Trapped. Yeah.
Trapped in the head. You know, and I don't think no matter what you watch, like look at all the movies I've watched right now. If you know, if people were convinced that movies turn people like evil and serial killers, then I'd be well and truly onto like a huge body count by now, the amount of horror movies and stuff I watch. But I think if you're born with something wrong with you, you're going to eventually find, it doesn't matter what you watch or where you go, you're going to do what you want to do. And if that is people, you're going to find a way to do it, because
oh, this got dark. Oh,
it is dark, twisted. I blame Lucio Fulci and his black cat.
Yeah.
Right, so coming to the end now, have you got any honorable mentions?
Any honorable mentions? Oh, I'd like to thank my cat.
You couldn't include that you would have liked to include, or
I'm doing like a thank you speech for my cats. I'd like to thank Edgar, Enid and Bob for all their commitment to me as their owner. No, what else was I thinking of putting in there? Again, another Disney film. I think it's Oliver and Company. I haven't watched that in years. So, but I just thought that was quite a obvious choice, really. He's the hero, the kind of protagonist of the film, the main character.
It's like a Disney version of Oliver Twist, isn't it? Kind of.
Yes. But he's obviously a little ginger cat. Yeah. Quite a lot of ginger cats are perceived to be good in films, which I like. Aristocats, obviously, massive.
My sister's cat was called O'Malley. He was a ginger cat.
O'Malley, Thomas O'Malley. Aristocat, another fantastic film.
Yeah, loved it. I love Aristocats. I think that's kind of underrated, personally.
It is definitely underrated. What else? What's the cat called from Ghost?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh no!
I was going to say Ditto, but that's definitely not it.
Oda May. God!
Oda May is Whoopi Goldberg, isn't it? That's Oda May.
Yeah.
Nah, no idea.
Oh, well, that cat's kind of, that's a notable cat.
Someone will be screaming at us, telling us what it is.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
But no, I can't think of, like I said, there's quite a lot of programs I watch with cats in. Sailor Moon, obviously.
I'm surprised you didn't have the...
Well, but it's not a film, technically, so... Yeah, and Salem from Sabrina, obviously.
I mean, I always thought Salem looks a lot like Binx from Hocus Pocus, I think.
Yeah.
Got to be like the same puppet or something similar.
But I know, I can't think of any of the cats. I know quite a lot of... I'm surprised you didn't mention... what's the cat called from Cinderella?
Oh, well...
Lucifer!
That was one of my honourable mentions, in fact. Lucifer from Cinderella, yeah. He's literally named after Satan, so he can't be a nice
Yeah, I know,
guy.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the rest of mine?
Yes, go for it.
So I mentioned Church from Pet Sematary. We've mentioned Lucifer from Cinderella. I'm going to mention The Cat from Hell. So this is from Tales from the Dark Side, the movie. So this is a story, it's a short story written by Stephen King. And it's basically this old, this cat food. I think it's a cat. He's like a cat owner. He owns like a business that he used cats. He treated cats poorly. And this cat comes along and he starts killing off all of his relatives. Revenge on the bad treatment of these cats. And he hires a hitman to kill this cat.
Oh my God.
It's genius. Again, this is Tales from the Dark Side, like an anthology movie. So there's several stories. And this is one of those stories. So it's only like 10, 15, 20 minutes or something. Maybe half an hour, possibly. But it's fantastic. It's really fun. And it's just got this guy with a gun like running around trying to kill this cat. It's fantastic. Almost, very, very, almost made the list. Very close to making the list. Who else have we got? Have you seen Secret of Nim? Have you seen that one?
Is that an anime?
Yeah, it's an animated kind of... It's like a Disney thing, but it's like about some intelligent rats and mice and stuff. And
no, I've not seen it.
It's really, really good. I highly recommend it. It was by Don Bluth, who was kind of a Disney rival back in the day. And there's a cat in that called Dragon who eats the main female character's husband straight away. Like he is basically like a mythical dragon, but he's like a house cat, but he's horrible, mangy. He's got like a dodgy eye, proper sick bastard of a cat.
Again, not giving cats with disabilities a good name.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All the Bond villains, they're all scarred, aren't they? So
they are, yeah.
Anybody with a, disability or disfigurements. I've included, this cat's not really bad, but he's more naughty, and it's Fritz the Cat. So that was the first ever X-rated animated movie that ever came out. He's just a proper dick. He manipulates women into having an orgy. He accidentally starts a race.
Oh.
He accidentally joins a group of terrorists, but he's so selfish and full of himself. It's a bizarre movie. It's like an anthology. It's three different stories in this animated movie, but it's a bizarre one. But if you want to see a cat orgy, then tune in. That's the one for
Amazing.
You.
Amazing. Definitely.
I told you I got some weird ones. Definitely got some weird ones. What else we got? Felicia from Basil the Great Mouse Detective.
Oh yes, Felicia. Is that the name of the? No way.
Yeah,
Felicia.
Professor Rattigan feeds all his henchmen to Felicia.
Yes.
Big fat cat with blue ribbon. And she kind of saunters in very, very sexily. As sexily as a cat can, I guess.
I'd say the cat is just doing what a cat does there, but it's Rattigan who's the... He's a bad one, he is.
Oh, yeah. But again, like I said, it tends to be the owners, not necessarily the cats. And then in most cases, the cats are just after revenge anyway, so they've already been hard done by. So, and then finally, Catzilla from Mouse Hunt.
I have not heard of that.
Not seen Mouse Hunt?
No.
It's got Lee Evans in it, Christopher Walken. Who's the guy who played Timon?
God.
He's in the producers. I can't remember his name. Forget it. But yeah, so those are my honourable mentions. So yeah.
Nice. Oh, I'm wearing Garfield, but that's a really bad film, and Garfield's a bit of an asshole. So
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so not really. Maybe not. Kind of notable, but yeah. The film's about him, but it's a really bad film.
Fair play. Yeah, I think that's us done. Is there anything else you'd like to say about good and or bad cats or your own cats?
Oh, there's so much I could say about cats. I think there's been actually more good cats than I thought there would be in popular media. So I think the argument that I wanted to almost put across about cats being perceived as being bad in a lot of media isn't that true anymore. And I just hope that people maybe do.
Cat representation.
Well, yeah.
I think this, we could probably go a little bit further. I think the same with any kind of representation. We can always do a bit more, can't we? We can always, you know, highlight certain groups of people or groups of cats, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's always more work to be done. So I think that's fair. All good, all done.
Thank you for asking me to do this podcast. Obviously, I love cats. Not a massive film boffin, but I shall definitely, I've wrote a list, I shall definitely check out some films where cats are not harmed. As in,
well, maybe not half of the one, not half. Yeah, of the
yeah, perhaps.
Say what? I think the one you can watch without a cat being harmed, probably Babe. You could watch Babe. You could watch
Cats and Dogs.
You can get away with Cats and Dogs, and you could probably kind of get away with a House, the Japanese film.
Okay.
I think
I'm fine with cats harming people.
Oh, there you go then. I think it does get hurt, but I think Blanche only gets hurt in the form of a painting.
Oh, okay.
So I think some severed legs come out and kung fu kick the painting of Blanche, but not actually Blanche herself.
Right.
It's a mad Japanese film. What are you going to do?
Interesting.
Right. So where can people find you on the social medias and any of all your cats?
Well, you can follow a great cat named Bob on Instagram. I'm on Instagram as Cookie Walk. I don't really use that many social media platforms anymore. I'm really quite lazy. But no, I do like Instagram.
Don't blame you. It's probably for the best. I mean, yeah. If not for this podcast, I probably wouldn't be on any. Probably wouldn't. Speaking of my social media, you can find the podcast at Secret Balls on Facebook. On Twitter, it's @Dan_Ball. Instagram, it is Spider Dan Secret Balls, and the podcast is available on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and many, many more. If you'd like to donate towards the podcast, you can buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/SpiderDan and the Secret Balls. And don't forget to use the hashtag #PrepareForPrattle. Remember to like, share, subscribe, all those good things. And that's it. So thank you very much, Shauna. You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for your input and all your cat love. All right. See you next time, guys. Goodbye.